Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th day of August, Anno Domini 2021, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 11 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. We already have a caller on the line, but you, of course, can also give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. If you're using a home Wi-Fi router, Wi-Fi range extender, or Wi-Fi USB network adapter...
And that's probably all of you.
That's all of you. Well, from 2015 or earlier, it's probably time to put it in a closet and get a newer model. That's because your device may be being hacked over the internet right now. Serious flaws have been found in hundreds of different models of home network devices made and sold by at least 65 different companies, and cyber criminals are already attacking them. We've got a list of the vulnerable devices in the forum. More about that later. Many of the affected models were released between 2010 and 2015, and at least a couple date back to 2004. IoT Inspector, the German information security firm that found the flaws, estimates that there are hundreds of thousands of vulnerable individual devices being used today worldwide. A known criminal gang is already attacking these devices using the flaws outlined in IoT Inspector's report, which was posted online on August 16th. The particular flaw being exploited by the botnet gang involves remote takeover of the router through the administrative interface, but sadly, simply turning off remote access to the admin interface won't fix the issue. Just landing on a malicious website on a computer using the router is enough. There are three other serious flaws as well. These vulnerable devices all use Wi-Fi chips made by a Taiwanese company called Realtek, like about 999% of all of these.
Yeah.
It's IoT, real, all right.
Yeah. IoT Inspector told Realtek of the flaws back in May. And on August 13th, Realtek released patches for some but not all of the vulnerable chipsets. More fixes will be coming from Realtek, but it doesn't plan to fix the oldest chipsets. Unfortunately, those patches have to be implemented and fine-tuned by the makers of the vulnerable devices and then pushed out to consumers as new device firmware. It's unlikely that many patches are available yet for download or installation. It may be months before all the updated firmware is available. The oldest devices will probably never be patched. If you own one of the devices on the list, here's what to do. If the device is only a few years old, say 2015 or later, you'll probably get a firmware update in the next few months. If an update isn't available right now, then disconnect the device and use another router or access point that isn't that old until updated firmware becomes available. If the device was released between 2010 and 2015, you may or may not eventually get a firmware update. We have a list of the vulnerable devices in the forum, and we'll also post it on the website. Hundreds of thousands of Wi-Fi routers. Oh, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is hundreds of thousands of home Wi-Fi routers are under attack. And your choices are, I've got one and I'm replacing it. I've got one and I'll wait for the update. I've got one and I don't care. I don't have one, I don't know if I have one, and other. So far, we've got 24 votes in the poll, and I don't have one is half the votes. So nice. Good for you.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, go check.
Yeah, right. And so you can check in our forum to see the list. And also, of course, if you selected other, we'd love to have you leave a message about it. And the way you find the forums is you go to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. The second top item there is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, The number one item under poll discussions is 28 August 21, hundreds of thousands of home Wi-Fi routers under attack. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Especially if your router is that old, you'd want to consider looking into getting something that's a little bit faster anyways.
Right.
And one, it's faster and better security.
And if you're using an extender now, you'd be much better off with a mesh network that still extends your network but does it more efficiently and faster.
Yeah.
This is from the same researchers that found the crack attack a few years ago.
Yep.
So they're concentrating on Wi-Fi. It says, fortunately, it's hard to exploit. Unfortunately, it's hard to patch, too.
Yeah, that's the other part of that problem.
Yeah, the only patch is, get a new router.
Right. So, yeah, definitely make sure that your routers, if it is on that list, consider replacing it or whatever. One other quick thing before we get to the
phone. It's a win-win anyways. I mean, you know, granted it costs you a little bit more money, you know, to get rid of this router, but I guarantee you it's got to be faster than the current one that you're using, especially if it's that old that it can't even be patched.
Right.
So you're winning on that aspect, and the internet's slow enough. You don't need a router adding to it for you.
And especially the low-end cheap routers often never get patched at all.
Right.
So if you've never patched your router, then you're vulnerable to a lot of different attacks.
I'll guarantee you over 75% of them probably haven't been patched. If you did a survey...
Well,
audio's working.
Yeah.
Where's the mute button?
Right there.
There's people out there that don't know how to do it, and I guarantee you that's over 75% of our listeners right now have never patched their router out there.
Right. And there was a call, basically, for router companies to automatically patch routers.
Right.
And then some overzealous attorney said, well, you can't do that because then you're modifying someone else's computer, which is technically illegal.
Well, there should be a button that says you may.
Right. So when you set up your router, then you can say you can install updates automatically.
Right.
But you have to go through the setup screen that a lot of people don't
bother
with anyway.
What it should do automatically,
though. They should stop printing the password on the bottom of the router so you have to do the setup.
Oh, I like that.
Most people just plug it in, use that password, and it works.
Right.
But they could write code into it, though, that, you know, periodically it goes out there, just checks for an update. And you get a splash on the screen that says, hey, there's an available update.
Right.
You want to do it?
Yep.
And have it nag you for a week or so. So if you don't do it, then, you know, it's...
Later.
Yeah, too late for you. But usually the updates are very quick
and
reboot.
Schedule it at 3 a.m. when you're probably asleep.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless you work nights and then
the
you do it today. Yeah.
Router.
All right, to the phones. Our first caller today is Victoria from Rochester, New York. Hi, Victoria. What's up?
Hi. I have two questions. The first is about malware and virus protection. I have a Mac. It's running, Catalina. And I'm using Chrome, and I have the latest version of Chrome, and I've been having problems with very, slowdowns and not responding and things like that when I'm on websites and things. And I did run Ookla, the test your speed download, and that's fine.
Ookla speed test.
Yeah, it's a speed test, right. And I didn't. That was fine. So I'm thinking maybe I have a virus or a malware. So then I went and looked about that, and I get different opinions about whether a Mac person should have virus and malware protection. Some people say, no, it's in the system. Don't worry about it.
And some
say, no, you should have some extra.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you define virus. Malware is a more generic term, malicious software. There is definitely malicious software for the Mac, and you may have it. And there are multiple malicious Chrome extensions that sneak in very easily into Chrome. And one of the best anti-malware programs on the Mac is Malwarebytes anti-malware. MBAM, Malwarebytes anti-malware for right. Mac. MBAM. the free version is scan on demand. So when you think there's a problem, you scan. They have a pay version that scans all the time. And for novice users, we like to say the probably better off do the pay version because then it stops things before it gets in. The Mac does have its own built-in antivirus protection called XProtect for the most serious of viruses. But there hasn't been a virus for the Mac in a while.
Right.
But there is a lot of malicious software. And a lot of times the threat model has changed. So instead of getting a virus, you get a message on your screen claiming you have a virus and you better run this program or call this tech support number and we'll clean you out.
Yeah, well, that's
and they clean out your bank account, not your computer. Yeah.
Both sides have shifted that way. PCs and Macs.
I've seen those kind. I've gotten those messages occasionally. I ignore them when they come up.
Unfortunately, there's also a lot of fake anti-malware software that advertises. You know, you should use our anti-malware program, and so you have to be careful about the one that you download. And we have found Malwarebytes both for Mac and Windows, and iOS and Android is a very reputable company, and it does a really good job at cleaning out the malware that can sneak in.
Okie dokie.
The other thing before we move on, Victoria, those people who told you that Macs can't and don't get viruses,
wrong.
Don't ever ask them for computer advice again.
Well, it's just I Googled, the question, and you get come up with all different articles.
They can, but they haven't had a virus in years.
Right, but still, there are viruses because, that are still out there.
Because it's pedantic.
Right.
And we are.
And we are. All right, so what's your other question, Victoria?
Okay, I'm running, as I said, I'm running Catalina, and I know there's a newer version, but I'm afraid, I don't know what happens if I try to download and install the newer version. Does that, like, get rid of, like, I have to redo all my settings and things like that? Or
all of your settings should stay. There's sort of two issues. One is if you have older software, it may not be compatible with the new OS, which means you need to buy new versions. And two, Big Sur, the next version, they revamped the user interface. A lot of people don't like the way it looks because it looks different. You can go to Apple's website, and I'll even post a link for it, that shows the list of new features of Big Sur to see if it's any feature you want. One of the neat features that I've seen is if you have an iPad, you can use it as a second screen on your computer. It's especially handy on a laptop that has a relatively small screen compared to a desktop anyway. There have been third-party programs to do that in the past, so of course they have now lost it. But some of those third-party programs work with Windows, so they're still alive. But you can see what the new features are and see if it's something you want to do. The other big thing is make sure you have a good backup before you install it, because if you decide you don't like it, the only way to downgrade your computer is erase it and restore from a backup you made before the upgrade.
Okay, where again can I find this thing which shows the features?
Apple.com, and then you go to Mac, and then Mac OS. I am posting a link on our website right now.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Also, what can her Mac go to Big Sur?
Yeah, that's the other question. Is the Mac capable? 2013, 2014 are some of the oldest computers that still can, but shouldn't. You should have at least 8 gigs of RAM, and 16 is better. And you should have an SSD, although it will work on a spinning hard drive. It's just slow on a spinning hard drive.
What is an SSD?
A solid-state drive.
Well, normally, a hard drive is a series of platters that spin. Lately, they've been, and they're fairly slow. Lately, they've been replaced by essentially RAM on a stick, and they call that a solid state drive.
And
how would I know if I have that?
You could check the about this Mac under the Apple menu,
right?
And then under storage, It will tell you if it's a flash storage drive, which is SSD because it uses flash RAM. Flash NAND.
It says 251 gigabyte flash.
Flash
storage.
Drive. So you have an SSD. So
that's
SSD
good.
Is kind of a generic name. Flash storage is another name Apple uses. So that's good.
Apple doesn't usually use the names everybody else uses.
Yeah. But with only a 256 drive, 251 accessible, that storage tab also tells you how much free space you have. You need about 20, 25 gigabytes free to install the new OS.
I have tons of free space.
Good, yeah.
I don't have much on here.
It's a little annoying. The new OS itself is like 13 gigs for the installer, and then it needs 10 or 15 gigs to be installed.
Right.
Then it deletes the installer when it's done. But you got to have that 25 to start with.
Right.
But if I'm, unless there's some feature I want, there's really no reason to do that then.
Correct, yep. Generally speaking, support for OSs is the current version and two old versions.
Right.
So Big Sur is current, and then Catalina and Mojave are the two previous.
Okay.
When Monterey comes out later this year, we already know the name. We're still waiting for Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah.
California Landmarks. When Monterey comes out, we're expecting that support for Mojave will drop off. So that means that they don't release security patches.
Right.
The other half of that is when you buy a new program, there's a minimum requirement for those new programs. And a lot of developers will only do the current version and one or two old. So
right.
We're already
right.
seeing programs that require Mojave. So if you're still running High Sierra 10.13, you can't get any newer software.
Right. Got that. Okay, thank you so much.
You're
thank
very
you,
welcome.
Victoria.
And
okay.
Pretty much this device is pretty same in the Windows world. When you upgrade, your even going from Windows 10, last year's version to this year's version, 22H2 is out now.
Yeah.
They still call it Windows 10, but there's a subversion. That if you run into problems, Microsoft does have a rollback procedure for some of their updates. But it doesn't work very well.
Yeah, it's very iffy.
And the bigger updates, it doesn't work very well at all.
Backup.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're done with that, backup one more time.
Yep.
Yeah, really?
We can't say that enough.
And iCloud is not a backup.
No.
Microsoft OneDrive is not a backup.
Nope.
Google Drive is not a backup. It's a sync. So if you accidentally delete a file, it's purposely deleted from the cloud because it's syncing what you've done.
And the thing of it is,
synchronized.
Is don't back it up to a partition that's on your hard drive.
Right.
Because then if you wipe out the drive and have to reinstall it, that backup is not there either.
Right.
Things like
iCloud and pCloud are good if you crash your machine.
Yeah.
Because then the data are still out there and you can move them back. That's what they're for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many times customers will come in and they say, yeah, I have a backup. And we look at the backup list and, it says it's Seagate Backup Plus was the name of a drive that Seagate makes. Great. Last backup, March 2016.
Right.
Okay. You're going to lose everything since March of 2016.
Right.
But I thought I had a backup. You did. And it was warning you that it hasn't backed up recently.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that with your support, we are member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. You know, for years, I've been looking down in the lower right corner for the time when I'm here. Now it's in the upper right. And I'm always looking down at the little gray area and then going, oh, yeah, it's up there.
Got to learn new things. Like you said, it's just like driving a car. They just move the controls around on it. And folks, just so if you didn't hear last week, Nick finally got his 400, the Raspberry Pi 400, which we've been sort of encouraging him to get so he could help support his daughter in her efforts
That's the reason.
To learn programming. Well,
and
it is. I mean...
And that wasn't just the keyboard. That's the whole computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the entire computer. I have it attached to an external screen, which costs more than the computer did. It's all set up and it runs great. The thing is, it's a little bit of a different thing. I am currently, and of course, I don't know if this is slow because it's Facebook, which always is, or it's something else. But I'm currently running 3 video streams on it.
I'm pushing out 3 video streams, and you're pulling in 3 video streams.
Right.
even though we're on 100 megabit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on, I should plug directly in, shouldn't I? That might help. I'm on YouTube. I've got the YouTube running, the Twitch running, and now the Facebook running, except the Facebook isn't running yet. And that very well may be Facebook and have absolutely nothing to do with me.
Yeah, really. No surprise there.
Yeah. So, but it's running, and it's running actually pretty well.
Well, it looks like Facebook stalled.
Oh, there you go. It isn't me then. And on this little gizmo, it's running pretty nicely, I have to say. Like I said, except for Facebook right now. And it's a 1.8 gigahertz processor with 4 cores. It's a Cortex A72 for you true geeks out there. I have 4 gigs of RAM, of which I still have 2 gigs free, even with
three streams running.
No, I've got 1.6 gigs of RAM.
Oh, slacker.
With three streams running and 5 tabs open, actually. And I'm booting from a 512 gig flash drive.
See, what you got to understand, folks, and I know it's hard to visualize because this is radio, but basically he's doing this all off of a keyboard. And this unit...
This is the entire computer. Those
if you look, if you're seeing this live on the stream, you can see this keyboard, and that is $100.
That's $100 with all the cables, the mouse, the power supply, all in. All you need is a screen. $100, you're done.
And you don't have to have a little screen like Nick has here. You could hook it up to one of the other, as long as your other TVs or screens have an HDMI port on it, you can hook it up to that. So if you've got a 70-inch TV at home with HDMI on it, you can plug it into that and then just, I would encourage you, sit way back.
Yeah, way back.
Because things are going to get big. Exactly. And you could fill it right on up. You could subdivide it and have multiple windows open. You could have a lot of fun with it.
Right.
And again, $100. $100 all in. And it's no big deal if something gets messed up. Oh, well, you just pull the SSD, micro SD drive card.
Yeah, card.
Not the drive, but the card out. Reflash it, and you could load something else out. But what I've seen a number of folks doing is because micro SD cards are so cheap. And you can, I saw an ad for, I think it was like a 6-pack of 32 gig ones. And you could order them, and you know, why do you want 6? Well, you could put 6 different operating systems on these, and all it is a matter of powering down your Raspberry Pi, taking the one card out, putting the other one in, boom, bring up another whole operating system.
Ridiculously easy. Ridiculously easy.
And there are tons. I mean, if you get, you're bored for a day and say, well, what would I do with it?
Everything.
I'm literally saying, take the day and you could start searching YouTube for Raspberry Pi projects. You'll be in awe at the various things that it can do around your house and everything else. And there's so many projects out there, and people will walk you through on YouTube how to set them up, how to do this, how to do that.
You'll start buying multiple Raspberry Pis to do all these different things.
Boy, that's the truth.
How many are you up to now?
I'm up to 4.
I got, Dave?
I got 5.
He's got 5. I've only got 1, so. But it's the original.
Oh, there you go. Now you're all right. One of the things I'm doing with this is my DVD player is not healthy. And so what I've been doing is ripping my DVDs. That's semi-legal, at least, because I already own them.
You own them.
They're mine. And serving them off of my Raspberry Pi.
Which, again,
as long as it's only going to yourself.
That's exactly right. That's perfectly legal.
Yep.
So now my larger television in the computer room has Chromecast on it. So there's the one downstairs. And I can cast to that. And I found two programs that will cast. One is VLC. You can actually send it to a Chromecast. I did not realize that. There's also...
I wonder if they added AirPlay, too, for Apple stuff.
I don't know.
Let's find out.
There is also, and I love this, for Linux, and it works on a Raspberry Pi, a command line program that will cast video to a Chromecast from the command line.
Sweet.
Yeah. So what that lets me do... is like from my phone, I can log into my Raspberry Pi, and from the command line there, I can cast a movie to my television. but there are so many things you can do on a Raspberry Pi. I have a number of friends who are just learning Python, and it's a great place to learn because if you screw stuff up, as Dave said, you reflash the thing and you go.
No biggie. You can make backups.
And you can make all your backups. On one of my Raspberry Pis, as does Dave, I use it as a backup system. I have a 2 terabyte spinning drive on it. It's a very slow drive. And I don't care.
Because it's a backup.
Because it's just backup.
Spinning drives are cheaper than solid state flash drives. So that's still a big advantage.
Yep. Yeah, but having that...
but for a backup machine
that's why I've got... I have the same thing on my server that I rebuilt, replaced a 17-year-old server. Now it's this little like bar of soap.
Yep.
With a hard drive on top of it. That's just a regular spin up hard drive. That doesn't have to be fast. It's just for backup. I don't care.
Although I have to admit, when I go to look at something on it, it's slow now.
I find that out too.
Half a second.
When I go over and switch, which I do a lot of working files over on my other Raspberry Pi, which is an SSD hard drive.
Right.
That is faster. And, you know, and like you say, then you go back to it. So, oh, come on. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, just boop, it pops it up.
One of the things that you can do very easily is change the boot from the SSD card to a thumb drive. And this has USB 3. So I bought a USB 3 512 gig, half a terabyte thumb drive for, I think, $50. And I now boot off of that. So I have, currently I have 411.2 gig free. Thank you very much.
There you go.
And because some of it is used up in the boot sector and the swap and in formatting and all of that. So I've got a little over 400 gig free on this $100 computer. Oh, if you want to add in the thumb drive, it's $150.
Yeah, but computer. Still on all.
$150. Get over yourself.
What you can do with it. Yeah. And, you know, it's not like, all right, well, you can only do this. No, the only thing that it can't do is limit it to.
When I first got it, which is now 2 weeks ago, when I first got the running one 2 weeks ago, the first thing I did is I set it up on my desk and with a small screen. So that's a bit of a problem for me. My eyes aren't 20 years old any longer. I'm fine, but my eyes are old. And so that's a little bit of an issue for me. But I used it for an entire week. I used it to do all my research. I used it to write all my programs. I used it to do everything. I used it. Many of you know that I work with a company called Mastermind Lounge, and we do video chat conferencing stuff. And I used it for that. Maybe I'll use it tomorrow night. Don't forget, tomorrow night is the Soundbites Lounge on Mastermind Lounge, and we meet at 9 p.m. Go to soundbites.org/lounge, and you can join in. I may do that on here. We'll see. We'll see how that works.
Well, that's the same thing I had.
You need an external camera, though.
I have. Yep. Well, here's the problem. I have a gorgeous 1080p high quality camera that actually works quite nicely with this, but doesn't seem to transmit quite as well. Quite as well. And that's obviously, I don't know what that is, but
maybe an update to the camera.
Yeah, maybe I don't know, but it looks great on this screen.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great when I take pictures with it or movies with it. It just doesn't, when
stream.
I use any streaming service, it doesn't quite look as good at the other end. I don't know why that is.
Well, like yet. You, I've got another Raspberry Pi 3. That's one of my fifth one that I play around with a lot. And I had done a Geochron map.
Sure.
And it's okay on this little tiny screen, but I found, again, folks, to search the web, and I found this guy that, oh, well, wait a minute. If you want to throw it up on, say, like a 50-inch TV, he's got this code. He says, here's how you do it. So I've got that, and that's one of my projects I want to do this weekend. Is then reload it, and then I can put it up onto a TV. Again, all I need is an HDMI, and then voila.
Yeah. And a lot of people say to me, oh, I'd really like to learn Linux, but I don't know, you know, and, I don't want to reformat.
You're afraid of messing up your computer, yeah.
$100.
Yep.
$100, and all you need is some sort of monitor.
Yeah.
And then you can plug it into your regular monitor and switch back and forth.
And a lot of monitors have two inputs now.
That's right.
Yeah. Or even your television.
Right.
And then it's a nice big screen you can sit back on the couch.
Yeah, just go off of HDMI too.
Yep.
And if you really wanted to learn Linux or just play around with it, it's $100. And you don't need to buy a high end. You don't need to buy a high capacity SSD card. Because if you're just playing around with it, 16 gig is more than enough.
And again, if you have multiple cards. You know, if you've got one, all right, that you're using it now and you're running different things and that, okay. Now you want to take a break and you want to play around with some other process. All right, you shut it down, take that card out, put the new one in, bam, reboots, and you can play around with Python or whatever you were working on.
Right, right. I do that quite regularly. And I, like I said, I used it for an entire week. I did everything on it. Now, much of my work is done in Google space, you know, Google Docs and Sheets and stuff like that. So that's all going to work no matter what you're using. But I did a whole bunch of stuff in LibreOffice. It comes with a full LibreOffice suite. So I did a bunch of stuff in that. I used, like I said, I'm running three video streams, and now the Facebook stream is up, so I'm seeing that
now. I refreshed it at my end, so I wondered if it froze for everybody or just me. Apparently everybody.
One thing I'd like to mention, you know, a couple folks have asked me, well, why are you talking so much about this stuff? Well, folks, if you go into most of your local stores, you know, the high-end appliance stores and everything else, and go looking around, back in the day, you would just see maybe one or two aisles of computer displays. And these were the big boxes. You go into most stores now, and you might see one row, and they've got just a few laptops and tablets. To get a big box, quite often, you've got to go online and order one and have it sent to you. There's not the stores out there, unless you go to a local PC store, to see the bigger boxes. Because everything is going towards online.
Yep. And so, yeah, you don't need a giant tower that can store six hard drives.
Unless you're a big gamer and got to have that whiz-bang, you know.
And the cooling, the airflow, yeah.
Right. $2,000 video card and, you know, 64 gig of memory.
Although, you know, hard drives, I'm looking on one of the well-known discount computer vendor sites. You get an 18-terabyte hard drive for $400. A 15-terabyte SSD, which is the biggest one I can find, is $4,000.
Yeah.
So there's the difference between spinning drives and solid state drives.
Yeah, and like I said, for a backup machine, you don't care if it takes an extra 30 seconds to back up. Who cares? You're doing it at 2 in the morning anyway.
But this is why, folks, we've kind of, you know, are going this way, because this is the future. You know, more and more stuff. You hear us talk about Windows 11 and everything else is going to go cloud-based. So that's why we're also promoting the Chromebooks.
Yep.
And, you know, everything is going up there that, you know.
And for the majority of people, your typical computer use is reading email. That's the cloud.
Yep.
Looking at websites. That's the cloud. Looking at pictures. Okay, that could be your local machine, but also the cloud, because you're going to make a picture book from a cloud service company.
Yeah, but there's even apps that you can download, like on your phone, to your Chromebook.
Do your
editing. You can do any editing, and there's so many games and everything else that you can put on your Chromebook and other things that you do, say, for business or whatever.
Because the internet has gotten so much faster, you don't need as powerful a computer at your end. Because everything can happen on the internet and just send you a screen. That's one of the reasons why Chromebooks and iPads are so popular, because they're cheaper than a traditional computer.
Right.
And you do so much on the web anyway that it's your internet service that's...
And that's the whole idea behind Windows 365.
Yep.
And the same reason why a lot of school systems are going to Chromebooks. One, they're easier to maintain. They don't have to worry about the kids mucking them up and getting viruses and everything else and coming back to their network, you know, when the kids come back in and infecting that. And, oh, to start the new school year, they can just do a blanket wipe and start all over again. And
we're working with a couple school districts on their Apple warranty issues. And it's like every other week they bring in 10, 15 iPads with broken screens.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
You better believe they get the extended warranty with the accidental damage incident claims on it.
Well, that's why our company went to, before we used to carry our tablets around.
Yeah.
Now they're mounted in the vehicles.
Yeah.
So you can't take it around because a lot of broken screens.
A lot of broken screens. And it happens. And that's why.
I've dropped it 100 times before. But the 101st was the
that's the magic one.
It's the same thing. You're talking about a $300 or $400 iPad versus a $150 Chromebook.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy two of them for the cost of an iPad, and you still get that same warranty, and you can do still, you know, whatever. But so,
the system administrator, though, it's his job or that person's job just got 10 times easier in maintaining.
All three operating systems have management consoles that work. I used to use the Macintosh one. I hope it's gotten better because it was horribly, horribly difficult.
There are multiple third party ones.
Okay, so it's still horrible.
Well, Jamf is one of the big ones.
Yeah.
But there are some good ones. There's one called Monkey.
Tell us
that's
how
really
you really
good.
Feel, Nick.
Well, I mean, it was horrible. In contrast, the one for Chromebook is ludicrously easy to use.
Yeah, it is.
That's
power wash.
You can do anything with it remotely. So you can, you know, decide who can. So one of the things I like about it is you can say for kids, for example, during school you can't go during school hours you can't go to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But from 6 to say 8 o'clock at night, you can. And then it shuts off again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, or, you know, whatever the timing is that you decide.
Yeah, you can control it.
Yeah. And you can't log in after 9 p.m. or 11 p.m. or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever. And you can set that by group. So you can say, you know, the third graders can't log in after, say, 8.
And you can block them from going to certain areas.
And you can block certain sites and et cetera, et cetera. And it's really, it's very, very convenient, very easy. And a lot of schools love that.
Yeah.
And so they're very attuned to the ability to do that, and they're very happy about it. So there's a lot of advantages to it in schools. There's a lot of advantages to it for individuals as well.
Well, not having to worry about all of a sudden they went home and went to this site or that site, picked up a virus, bring it back, and then it gets into the whole school system. And nope, won't happen with a Chromebook.
Yep.
Exactly right.
No, that's that. You just locked that out. It doesn't get spyware. It doesn't get malware. Doesn't get viruses. And oh, updating stuff is so easy.
Yeah, all you have to do is reboot.
Yeah,
that's literally all you have to do.
They, when the kids shut it down at night and bring it back up, if there were any updates, it did it.
Right.
I read a story about a person that came storming up to the tech support guy and said, I needed to reinstall Windows, so I borrowed the disk on your desk that said PowerWash. Where'd all my files go?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, one, never borrow my Windows disks. Never borrow any of my disks. And,
right.
And you ignored all the error message or the messages that came up and said, we're going to erase your data?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't believe
then
it.
Then he deserved, yeah, I was going to say, anybody that dumb deserves it. I'm sorry.
Well, you wouldn't do that to my data. It's that it's gonna.
Right. Right. So, there are so many opportunities to play with stuff. And like we said, for $100, if you're looking, you know, I talk to people all the time. I'd really like to learn Linux. I hear so many good things about it. It sounds like it'd be fun. I used to be a programmer. I still am a programmer. Or I'm just interested in something like that. $100 and all in except the monitor.
Yeah.
And that includes the power supply and the cables and the mouse.
Even if you want to just learn it, there's plenty of videos out there that will walk you through it. That's as right. far as loading. And if you got a question, well, how do I install the print drivers? There's a YouTube video out there for it. I guarantee it. Somebody's done it on installing various drivers.
Last week, I will admit, I blew my own horn. I posted a link to my class on Raspberry Pi for Beginners at Mastermind Lounge. I teach a class on that, so you can take that if you want some one-on-one type of instruction. Well, it's a class, so it's not really one-on-one. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Live instruction. Live personal instruction. So that's. There are so many alternatives to just sitting in front of a computer with Windows these days. And
that's the way it's going to go, too. I mean, that's just the future, folks.
Well, and Microsoft understands it. That's the idea behind Windows 365. Their hope is that they will be able to ignore all the problems that people have had with their old machines.
Multiple configurations causing those types of problems.
Yeah. Real problems. All right. That music tells us you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. But do not despair. Oh, Soundbites Files. You have another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right. A whole nother hour of Soundbites right here in the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. That means more Dave Enright, more Steve Ray, too much Nick Francesco, and, of course, all of you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Take a little bio break, get a beverage of your choice, and we'll be back with more Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Back during the waning days of July, Apple pushed out iOS 14.7.1 to patch a serious security issue that, and I quote, may be able to execute arbitrary code with kernel privileges. Apple is aware of a report that this issue may have been actively exploited, end quote. In other words, if you still haven't updated your iPhone to iOS 14.7.1, you might want to do so now by going to Settings, General, Software Update. The update also fixed the bug that prevented an unlocked Apple Watch from unlocking iPhone units belonging to mask-wearing users. Since Face ID can't recognize a face that's covered with a mask, the iPhone had been prompting mask wearers to punch in their passcode. To save the aggravation of having to do that, Apple allows an unlocked Apple Watch to be used to unlock a user's iPhone. While the update to iOS 14.7.1 is an important one, it also has created a serious issue for some iPhone users who lost cellular connectivity following the installation of the iOS 14.7.1 update. On Apple's developer forum and discussion forum, several iPhone users complain about what happened to them after installing this update that Apple asked its customers to install due to security concerns. Apple has posted a support document with some suggestions for those affected by iOS 14.7.1 to try. No, not the suggestion you're currently thinking. Apple says that if you see no service on your iPhone or iPad, Wi-Fi plus cellular, or can't connect to a cellular network or use cellular data, Apple suggests that you make sure that you are in an area that your cellular provider covers and attempt a carrier settings update. Go to Settings, General, About. If an update is available, you'll see an option to install it. You can check to see the current version of the carrier settings used on your device by going to Settings, General, About, and look at the name followed by the word carrier. You can also try removing the SIM card on your phone, assuming you can do that, and replacing it with the same card or a replacement from your carrier. Apple also suggests that iPhone users unable to connect to their carrier after the iOS 14.7.1 update reset their network settings. To do this, go to Settings, General, Reset, Reset Network Settings. Doing this will also reset previously used Wi-Fi networks and passwords, cellular settings, and VPN and APN settings. So make sure you've written all those down somewhere. If you can't get this problem,
I'll post a link to this tech note.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Really.
If you can't get this problem straightened out, help from Apple might be on the way. Apple will reportedly disseminate iOS 14.8, which might include a bug fix to reverse the loss of cellular connectivity. The update also could set up iPhone models to work with a new feature. As Apple explains, iOS now offers a choice between two software update versions in the Settings app. You can update to the latest version of iOS 15 as soon as it's released for the latest features and most complete set of security updates, or continue on iOS 14 and still get important security updates until you're ready to upgrade to the next major version. How's your iPhone connectivity? Give us a call, if you can. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Somebody asked me, well, if I can't make a connection, how do I update? Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi connectivity still works.
Yep. Or plug it into your computer and update with USB.
Right.
Yeah.
Which actually often works.
Faster?
Well, not necessarily faster, but it often works better because then it doesn't need space on the phone for the updater and the working space to do the update.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Right.
Since most people have their phones nearly full all the time.
Yes, they do. Yes,
so
they
when,
do.
So when you go to buy a phone, double whatever storage you think you're going to buy. And that will last a little longer than you think.
Yeah, exactly.
Not long. Very long.
Yeah, not very long. And you can also, you know, back stuff up and remove it. Every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to go through your phone and see what you haven't used in, say, a year. And delete those apps. I just got a notice this morning that some apps I haven't used in a long time have now been deactivated.
Mm-hmm.
So later today, I'll go and look at that list and decide, you know, I don't really need it.
Yeah, there's a setting in iOS to offload seldom used apps.
Right.
And then they have a little cloud icon next to them to show that they're not downloaded, but they're available in the cloud if you want to re-download them.
Right.
So you can go through and see if you haven't used them in a while, you might as well just go ahead and delete them.
Yeah, you can make a list, and that way if you need to download it, it's there.
So now instead of having 10 full pages of icons, I have 10 pages with only half icons on each of them.
Yeah, right, exactly. We did a text message asking, can I use one 18-terabyte drive to back up 4 Windows machines? Yes. Assuming that each one is
on your local network.
3 gigs or less, right?
Yeah, whatever it divides out to be.
Yeah, 4. So here's the deal.
There you go.
you can put a drive of any size onto the network. That's called a NAS drive, Network Attached Storage, an NAS. And there are drives you can buy that do that. There are also enclosures for drives you already have, like your 18-terabyte drive, that allow you to do that. Once they are on the network, they are visible to whoever you let them be visible to. All NAS products come with a management thing that lets you do that. So when you have that drive on the network, you can say, for example, anybody on the network can save anywhere, or I can say Dave can save to the Dave folder, Steve can save to the Steve folder, Nick can only save to the Nick folder. And that way everybody can have their data on the drive, but all of it is private to that person. And you do not share that those
password protect it, yeah,
anywhere else. So it is doable. You just have a little work to do to make it happen.
Well, and if you want, you can install that drive into one of your computers and share it to the network from there. And then that computer becomes the network server.
But that computer better be on all the time.
And it better be your beefiest computer.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you intend to work on it as well, you're going to slow everybody else down while you're doing it. But having one machine that you back up to, say, at 2 in the morning is a great idea. That machine could be a Raspberry Pi, by the way. but you can have one device on the network, whether it's a NAS drive or a Raspberry Pi or an old computer or your main machine, one device on the network that has at least one drive that everyone can see and write to, and then they can all, and you can have programs that do this for you, but they can all back up to those machines. And assuming, you know, you want them to back all up at 2 in the morning, as long as they all leave their machines on, they'll back up at 2 a.m., nobody's bothered, nobody
as
else
one,
is up.
And that's only one form of backup. We recommend at least two.
Right. But this specific question was for that backing up. And yes, so I hope that answers your question. The answer is yes, with a little bit of work.
Yep. Now, my daughter was calling, just like your daughter. You know, she, I've trained her well, and she goes, that's the whole problem with the Macs. She's just found it too hard to do the updates and that because her mother has a phone, iPhone.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to touch her, get near, because then if she messes something up, because I trained her on Windows. Mm-hmm. So she goes, nope, not going there. Well, it's supposed to be so easy. Yep, nope.
You click the update button.
Yeah.
If nothing goes wrong, it works great.
Yeah.
It's when something goes wrong that you have a problem, and that's why we're all in business.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
And I've often said,
God bless Bill Gates. If it wasn't for him, I'd be an out-of-work actor.
And it's what we alluded to earlier. There are so many combinations of computers and hardware and video cards and networks, cards, and all the stuff that goes into a computer. It's impossible to test every combination.
Impossible.
So Windows puts out an update that works fine on every computer they tested it with. And then they find, and because there's 100 billion people using Windows...
Their odds might have been
exaggeration. Yeah. So there are
not much.
Yeah. If 1% of the people have problems, that's millions of computers.
That's right.
Yeah. But
it's always the loudest 1%.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's one of the issues that Macs avoid.
A little bit.
Yeah. It used to be that whatever you had on your Mac was what you had on your Mac, and you were done. But nowadays, you can add so much additional stuff that it is possible to surprise and update.
They're actually going back to the old ways a little bit more.
Yeah.
What's in the Mac can't change.
Right.
You can't upgrade the RAM. You can't upgrade the storage internally.
Right.
But you can hang external stuff. So now it becomes more software issues.
Drivers.
Yeah, this old piece of software didn't upgrade to 64-bit, and now it won't work on your latest OS.
Right.
That was another bane. Apple gave developers 10 years notice that we're going to 64-bit only OS. I think that was too long. They gave them too much notice.
That's right. That was the problem with Y2K.
Yeah.
Right? So many people did it right,
mm-hmm.
and some people, the ones everybody knows about, did it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got plenty of time. Wait a minute. It's December 15th. We better do something.
Yeah.
Well, it's too late now.
You know, that's one thing I didn't cover, though. You know, we were talking about the PC side. how that's dwindled down, you know, to where now, you know, you just don't see the big boxes. What about the Mac side?
The big box on the Mac is the god awful expensive one. It starts at $5,000. You see a lot of those in Hollywood. They're really big.
Yeah, but
for video
I mean
editors,
for the average user, is everybody going to laptops and tablets?
Yeah. For average people, it's been about 75% laptop and 25% desktop. And what's interesting is with the tablets, the high end of the iPad line is overlapping the low end of the laptop line.
Right.
And so there's kind of a merging there in the middle. But we're seeing a lot of people are now able to get an iPad as, say, a second computer. And we often say it's the living room computer, in the living room, on the couch, watching TV, looking up stuff on IMDb.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, same sort of thing happening in the Windows world. The big boxes have gone away. We now, the Mac Mini is the typical desktop without a monitor, and you use your existing monitors. And then the iMac is the all-in-one with the monitor built in.
Well, I've seen that in a couple of homes.
Yeah.
In homes, literally. They've got a TV up,
yep,
you know, for watching TV, and then right next to it, or just off to the side, is one to hook up the computer.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could be sitting there, like you said, looking up stuff as they're watching TV and kind of multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who have something along the lines of a Raspberry Pi connected to their TV,
mm-hmm,
and they can sit and
type
on a
that's
YouTube keyboard.
Okay.
So they can do the, yeah, we're in the which one am I in? The Facebook chat. Amy says, I still prefer my laptop with built-in disk drive. My dad taught me all I know. Good for you. And good for your dad, doggone it. That's the way it works.
Yeah. What's interesting is that iPhone makes up 54% of Apple's revenue.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons they took computer out of their name.
That's right.
Computers, Mac is only 10% of their revenue. So all of Mac is about the same as the iPad's 9%.
Mm-hmm. But that's the whole 10 trend, though, like, yep, you were saying, though. We're slowly getting away from the big boxes because the way storage is so cheap. Like, what are you paying for your unlimited storage now?
It's $179 for lifetime, $179, I think.
For lifetime storage?
For lifetime storage.
You know, and like we've said before, and I know I'm repeating myself, you know, folks don't worry about it too much, and that's sad that they don't, because I think I just said this just last week. You know, the documents and all that stuff, that can always be rewritten. There's nothing there that you might not be exactly, but, you know, pretty darn close to what you originally wrote down and everything else.
Right.
It's the pictures. Once those pictures aren't backed up and they're deleted or accidentally crashed because of a hard drive, they're gone, folks. You can't go backwards in time and recreate those moments. And that's, if nothing else, that's why we keep saying backup, and maybe backup one more time. Because until you lose photos, and Steve and I have both seen it, we have had, I had one lady literally in tears,
yep,
crying because she had done all this genealogy work and had all these old pictures of family members, and it crashed.
Yep.
And it was gone.
Yep.
Sometimes if you're really, really lucky, you can send it to a forensic recovery facility where they have an electron microscope and go in and look just bit by bit to see if the little bit is a one or a zero. Is it up and down or is it down and up?
That ain't cheap.
And that ain't cheap. Looking at $1,000 minimum.
I lied to you, by the way. It's $175 for half a terabyte.
Nice.
And $350 for 2 terabytes. And that's lifetime, by the way. You pay that once, you are done. You are done.
It's dirt cheap for, you know, to have something there that, you know, will save your bacon.
Yep. I will say, by the way, I'm running three data streams, three video streams simultaneously, and this thing isn't even warm. I mean, just barely. You can tell. I mean, it's warm, not toasty. Just it's a little above ambient temperature.
Yeah, and warmer.
My computer's hovering around 200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, mine's at 48 degrees Celsius.
I'm serving so many things.
Yeah, mine's at 48 degrees Celsius.
Running 46. A few cameras.
Yeah.
46, yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Hi, Walter, what's up?
Hi there, Nick. I have a few questions with your opening news.
Yeah.
First hour. From what I understand, you said, if I went to a certain website, I could get, the bad guys could then be able to get into my router then.
Yep.
Okay. Are there any extensions or something that would kind of flag you to some of these things? What I'm looking at is like Web of Trust. Would that be helpful to avoid these places?
It could be. Web of Trust is an extension that you can add to your browser.
Right.
And what it is this is for everybody else. You know. It's a crowdsourced, this website is okay. Thing where you get when you look at a link, there's a little circle next to it. If it's green, then a bunch of people have said it's a good site. If it's gray, nobody knows. If it's red, don't go there. And that can help. But the real problem is ads.
Yeah, it's not the site itself. It's an ad the site is serving.
It's buried in it.
Right. The problem is so many sites serve ads. No, so many sites belong to an ad network.
Okay.
So if the bad guys can inject an ad into that network, it's not the fault of the site you go to that you got that ad. It's not your fault because you didn't go to a bad site. It's
they
just
snuck
the
it
fact
in.
That it got yep. snuck in. Now, okay. The ad agencies are very good about getting rid of those, but that doesn't mean that they get rid of them instantaneously.
Could be a couple days.
Could be even 10 minutes is enough to infect a million people.
We used to say don't go to the seedy websites and you'd be safe. Now it's any website with an ad can be infected. And so a lot of people try to run ad blockers.
Yeah, okay.
But now websites make their money from the ads, and so they've started doing anti-ad blocking. So if you have an ad blocker running, you can't see that website.
Right.
And they'll ask you to turn it off, which then you get infected. So more and more sites are going behind a paywall where you pay them, $5 a month to read their site or whatever it is. And then they show less ads. It's usually not no ads. It's less ads.
Yeah, fewer ads. Yeah, but not none.
Google used to have a thing because ironically, Google's the largest advertiser because they own DoubleClick. They used to have a thing where you could pay Google whatever you wanted per month and they would stop the ads before they got to your computer, and would then pay the advertisers a little bit out of what you paid them so that the advertisers still get the money, the website still get the money for the ads. But they haven't done that in a while.
And nobody took advantage of it. That's why.
It probably didn't mean enough people signed up for it to make it cost effective for the websites.
But the fact is, Walter, you can take all the precautions in the world and they may not be enough if you get unlucky.
Okay. Well, you answered my – I was going to ask about the ad blockers, but you answered that then. So I guess it will come down to my last question is, well, I will readily admit we're still with Frontier, and it's because we do like the safety of a landline. Having dealt with the October surprise that hit Buffalo, and I was able to continue to talk to my father with that and to finally get over there and put in the generator and everything else. I've got a backup because I haven't seen anything that says a cell tower is going to be doing well unless they're going to be like during the daylight hours, they got a solar panel, and they're going to have their batteries recharging and let them hopefully run maybe for 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah, many towers do have a battery backup and solar charging for that backup, but not as far as I know all of them yet. So it depends on your area.
Right. So what goes on is that we've been grandfathered into Frontier, and we have this wireless router that they've provided to us. I know you're not a lawyer, but do you think I have the right to go to them and say, hey, I can look on your list, this is vulnerable, give me a brand new one. Do you think I have the right to do that?
You always have the right to do that. Whether or not it works is a different story entirely, but you certainly have the right to do that.
Always try. Yeah. Doesn't cost anything to try.
And in many cases, you can log into the admin console of your Frontier router yourself check for updates. But I don't think any router company has released an update yet for the frag attack, which is the newest one. There aren't any updates yet.
It just happened.
Okay, because in the past, they had been pretty good. I talked to you many years ago about an update that was on there. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's like Frontier did put in a firmware update.
Good.
So I was happy with that. And now I'm concerned about this latest one, because this we have, the router's been running wonderfully, no problems. We got lower speeds compared to what you have, Nick, way low, but it meets our needs. And so, okay, I'll go talk to him and see what happens.
All right, excellent.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here in the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we, and that includes you, our soundbites.
Is this a live call?
That's the last call. That's done.
Is it next weekend?
Yes, there is a next weekend.
Duh.
2 weeks.
I mean, our
Labor
birthday.
Day. Labor Day is late this year.
Yeah, Labor Day is late. Right. September 3rd.
So that would be next weekend.
Yeah.
So next weekend is our anniversary.
Yep, next Friday, actually.
31 years. Longer than my first marriage.
32 years.
32. Well, it's 31 right now.
31 years, 11 months, and 25 days today. 32 years coming up. We've been on the air well, certainly longer than my daughter's been alive.
Yeah. I still remember that Saturday you had to take off.
Yep.
I think that was one of the first times, though, we had to actually figure, how are we going to do this? And Steve and I, from then on, you know, if one of us is out, we just adapted.
Yep, exactly right. There's a... I should take a moment to say, quite simply, that, in fact, yes, we have been on the air almost 32 years. But when I say we, I include you folks, because you're the people who make this show what it is.
And then followed us from station to station.
Yeah, and that's the only reason we've gone through three different stations and are here, and we've been here since, what, 95?
I don't know. But it is
or
you 2005? People. It is you people who did that. Without you, would there be a lot of empty dead air?
Yeah,
this station. So we appreciate you calling in and asking your questions.
Sticking with us.
Exactly. Give us a call at 585-966 Jazz. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We did get a text question. We would prefer you call in because, for example, with this question, we have other questions that we need to ask you.
Yeah.
The question was, this person has a Pixel 3 with a Facebook app and they're still getting notices. Can't stop them even though they've said
they keep turning them
notices.
Back. Even though they turn them off, they could come back on.
So the question becomes, what kind of notices? As Steve said, there's email notices, there's push notifications. Yeah.
In-app notifications.
In-app notifications, there's the little badge on
this
the thing.
Where, again...
Which one are you talking about?
And it kind of seems like the bottom line is, too bad, Facebook turns it back on.
Every time you get an update, Facebook turns them all back on.
Yes. I mean, I love the text line as far as, you know, quick comment.
Right.
We love those.
Charm requests.
Yeah.
That's what it was intended for.
When it comes to, you know, us and doing computer questions, too often, as you folks know, if you've listened to us over the years, we always have other questions.
Right.
You know, they sit there, it's a Windows machine. Okay. Then we get into... Is it a new one? Is it an old one? How much memory? How big of a hard drive? I mean, there's a lot of other things that can attribute to other things that we need more information.
Right.
And that's where the text would be too long.
Right. So we do need your help with all of that. We need you to give us a call rather than just text. If it's a comment, please feel free to text.
Yeah.
If it's a call, then we really need you to. If it's a question, we need you to call in because we may have additional questions on those. So in the meantime,
so I just found a dangerous setting in reading through the Facebook FAQ here. Is how can I manage my time on Facebook? Apparently it tracks how long you spent on Facebook.
Yes, it does.
In the iOS and Android apps. And I'm just going to go in and see what my time on Facebook is.
Oh, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
I really don't think you should.
Yeah. There is the iOS has a setting where it tells you every week what your, I don't have that. I don't have that on mine. It tells you how much time you've spent in certain apps, and you can limit your screen time. That's the name of the future on iOS.
Screen
and a lot of parents love that for their kids, so they can limit Facebook screen time. The trick is, it's hard. You can't limit the Safari web browser as easily because they need to use the web for the schoolwork, but then they can use the web for Facebook. So then you got to add the URL test. So, okay, you can go to Google, but you can't go to Facebook.
Yeah, and they can limit the number of places that they can go,
Right, but it takes a lot of work to do that, and a lot of parents
aren't tech savvy for that. School systems have found a way around it, and being able to say, all right, you can only go here. And like you said, they can limit the number, how many hours it can be on, and, they got to get their homework done and everything else. They just can't say, turn it on and then go off, surfing the web and playing games before their homework's done.
Right. So, folks, you often ask us, how do I keep my data, my personal data, my private data safe? And often our answer is you can't, and here's another example. More than 1,000 web apps mistakenly expose 38 million records on the open internet.
Oops.
Oopsie. Including data from a number of COVID-19 contact tracing platforms, vaccination signups, job application portals, and employee databases. The data included a range of sensitive information from people's phone numbers and home addresses to social security numbers and COVID-19 vaccination status. The incident affected major companies and organizations, including American Airlines, Ford, the transportation and logistics company J.B. Hunt, the Maryland Department of Health, the New York City Municipal Transportation Authority, and New York City Public Schools. And while the data exposures have since been addressed, they show just how bad one bad configuration setting in a popular platform can have far-reaching consequences. The exposed data were all stored in Microsoft's Power Apps Portal Service, a development platform that makes it easy to create web or mobile apps for external use. If you need to spin up a vaccine appointment sign-up site quickly during, say, a pandemic, Power Apps portals can generate both a public-facing site and a data management background. In addition to managing internal databases and offering a foundation to develop apps, the Power Apps platform also provides ready-made application programming interfaces to interact with those data. But the researchers who discovered the problems realized that when enabling these APIs, the platform defaulted to making the corresponding data publicly accessible. Enabling privacy settings was a manual process. Good choice, Microsoft. As a result, many customers misconfigured their applications by leaving the insecure default. The types of information the researchers stumbled across was wide-ranging. The J.B. Hunt exposure was job applicant data that included social security numbers. Microsoft itself exposed a number of databases in its own Power Apps portals, including an old platform called Global Payroll Services, two business tool support portals, and a customer insights portal. The information was limited in many ways. The fact that the state of Indiana, for example, had a Power Apps portal exposure doesn't mean that all the data the state holds were exposed. Only a subset of contact tracing data, great, just the contact tracing data, used in the state's Power Apps portal was involved. Misconfiguration of cloud-based databases has been a serious issue over the years, exposing huge quantities of data to inappropriate access or theft. Major cloud companies like Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud Platform, and Microsoft Azure or Azure if you prefer, have all taken steps to store customers' data privately by default from the start and flag potential misconfigurations, but the industry didn't prioritize the issue until fairly recently. Lazy sons and so-and-sos. At this point, there's nothing you can do about it. Just be aware and be more diligent about checking your banking and private info. So are you paranoid enough yet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Oh, I did get to play a little bit this weekend, or this past week. And was on my lunch break, I get this phone call. And normally, you know, that's what I love about my Pixel.
Yep.
It was an unknown number, but I was expecting a number, and a call to come in. But and so I said, hello? Is this Dave Enright? Yeah. Well, this is Chase Bank calling you. And we need to get into your computer. Evidently, your account's been hacked and you're causing... Oh, really? So what's going on? Well, you could be, you know, you could be losing out on thousands of dollars in that and be liable for, you know, causing other people to get hacked. And he was leading that. Okay, well, have a nice day. Well, you could. I says, one thing, sir. I don't have a Chase account.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yep.
But yeah, he was trying to, you know, lure me in. Well, you know, I'm going to be on the hook because, you know, funds are being transferred here and there, and I'm going to be on the hook for all this money and everything else. Okay.
Click. Yeah, my daughter, as I mentioned last week, was in a car accident. She's fine. She said that you may get a call from somebody about something. I don't remember. I don't think it's anybody's business what it was, but I might get a call. So I've been answering the phone to unknown numbers.
Yeah.
And I got one. I picked up the phone. I said, hello. And I said, is this Nick Francesco? I said, I am he. Because I don't say yes.
No, I always say, this is Dave Enright.
Yeah. I am he. Hi, this is, it doesn't matter what institution it was, and blah, 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 and this and that, and six other things. And I just let him go on and on and on, and I asked some leading questions, and never saying yes or okay or sure or any of that stuff. And so eventually they said, we'd like to get your information so we can fix this. I said, great. And they said, let's start with your Social Security number. I said, oh, absolutely. Hold on a minute. I'll get my wallet. Put the phone down, walked away for a while, came back.
Keep them on the line so they don't get after other people.
Right. Are you still there? Yes, sir. We want your Social Security number. My goodness, you're persistent. And I just hung up.
You should have said my number is one.
One.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm much older than you think. My number is one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, folks. No bank is going to call you. If they do, it will be real simple because I did have a call like that. My bank called me in and said, hi, this is so-and-so from my bank. And it was my bank. Did you just buy 6 fur coats in Florida? They didn't ask me for any information just to verify that I was me. Just, you know, is this Nick Francesco? And I said, it is. And they said, okay. Did you buy 6 fur coats in Florida this morning? Like, it was 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. So, No. No, I don't generally buy. I don't know if you know me well, but I don't normally buy 6 fur coats.
And especially
in
Florida.
Yeah. And they said, they didn't ask for any other information. They just said, okay, we're canceling your credit card. Please go to your nearest branch and pick up a new one. And sign this whatever sheet they had, and we'll send you a new one. I said, okay, fine. And that's all. They didn't ask for any information.
No,
they're your bank. They know all that stuff.
They know all that stuff.
Well, that's why, you know, like I've had it happen before on other calls because I like playing around with it. You know, like you, I've learned you don't say yes. And if they say, well, I need your checking account to verify it. Well, you should already have that. If you're calling me, You should already know that.
You're my bank, right?
Yeah. So what
if you call them, they will ask for verification stuff because they don't know it's you.
Right, right. Exactly. And they should.
Right. Yeah. And but when you call me and say, all right, well, we need to verify your account. Well, you should have that. Well, yeah, but we need to verify. No, you should have that. What else can I do for you?
Right.
And you usually get them frustrated and they'll hang up.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, it's like I say, it's been fun to, sometimes to play around with them because, again, though, folks, you don't ever say yes or uh-huh or anything.
Or
that,
sure or any positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
And don't say okay because then they could cut that space out. Well, we told them, you know, we're going to do this, and you can hear them say that, Mr. Enright, did you want this? Okay. And they can clip that out, and they can use it. So you've got to be very cautious.
So you're agreeing to pay for this service for $1,000 a month for the next 20 years.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, yep. And they'll paste that right in there, and then you're up a creek without a paddle.
Yep.
Because then they've got it on, because they're always recording, folks. They're always recording, hoping to catch a sucker and use that against you. Because then it's your word against it. Well, I never agreed to that. Well, they've got you on tape. So I'd say for the average person, just hang up.
One thing I did, and I still probably have it somewhere in my phone, is I went to Google Translate. I love Google Translate. And I translated a bunch of phrases into Esperanto. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing them badly, but no one else knows. And it was things, it started out with things like, don't ever call me again. They don't know what I'm saying.
No.
Don't ever call me again. I hate you. I'm going to hang up shortly. Some very rude things. And when one of those things called, I would just drop into that, pull that up and say, you know, whatever mm-hmm. they were. And they would try Spanish and they would try French and they would try German. And I would say, no.
I love it when I've watched a number of YouTube videos where the scammers have tried calling different people. And the one that I love the best is they call, I think it's out in Minnesota, this one chief, and she plays along with them.
Police chief.
Yeah, police chief.
Yeah.
And they're trying to scam her. Well, we're going to send the authorities out after you. Now, if you want to avoid this warrant, you know, oh, really? How soon are they coming? They'll be there momentarily if you don't.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it won't take them long because they're sitting at that desk right there.
But yeah, and there are some other folks that there's another young lady that uses will change your voice and sound like an old lady, and then, you know, a young girl, and then she'll this is a recording, please dial, you know, for English press 1, for Spanish press 2, and you know, she'll do a whole bit and drive the telemarketer. But again, the key thing they're trying to do there is waste their time, because the telemarketers make money going from call to call to call, see if they can nab somebody. So some of these other pranksters that love playing with it, and I applaud them, that will sit there and do their best to just keep leading them on and leading them on so that they don't get out there, because they are scam artists, and that's all it is. It's just like when we tell you folks, you see these screens that pop up and say, call this number because, you know, your machine is infected. And the one thing that we always tell you to do is unplug the machine, turn it off, boot it back up. If it comes back on, then maybe there's something wrong with it. But 99% of the time, it's just a pop-up screen that once you shut the machine off, it's disconnected. It's gone. Didn't do any damage to your machine. Because the worst thing you can do is click on some of these links that you don't know. Right. In doubt, always pick up that phone and call. If they say it's your bank, don't believe an email.
And don't call. Don't call the number in the email. Call the number on the back of your card.
Yeah.
Because the number in the email is probably fake too.
Or you can always go on the internet and look up, you know, say Citibank or whatever your local bank branch is. But I'm sure if you get a statement from them or anything else, you have those numbers. Pick up the phone and call. Or better yet, get in this thing called a vehicle, drive over, and ask. Wait, I don't know of any bank.
Out in the big blue room?
Yeah. And you can go out there and ask questions. Banks will, they love to answer any questions. If you've got particular concerns about this or that, they'll sit down with you and work through it.
They'd much rather you call them or better yet, show up in person than you get scammed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My favorites are the ones where somebody hooked up their answering machine to a chat bot.
Mm-hmm.
So when when someone calls, it actually talks back to them.
I'd love to listen in on that.
Yeah, there are YouTube videos again all over the place.
Oh, wow. These scammers are fast. So I've got my Facebook window open, monitoring the feed. I've been going through Facebook Marketplace looking for a new lawnmower. I've now seen 4 ads from 4 different companies offering me a $2,000 John Deere for $89.
Wow.
I think
what a bargain.
Yeah.
Get 2.
And it's all different company names.
His
and hers. Yep. Shirley can do one half the line. You can do the other.
One of them was, I'm a good shop.
Well, you got to trust that one.
But, another one was Wish Shop.
You know, the other scam, though, that's out there, too, is you see a lot of these ads for the Amazon pallets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, don't. They sit there and say, oh, you can get all this Amazon unclaimed stuff for $59.99 or $95.99. The only thing you're going to get is maybe some bubble wrap.
There's a company on Lake Ave called Unclaimed Freight. They've sold furniture forever. But it isn't really unclaimed freight. That's just the name of the company.
That's the name of the company, right.
But don't go for those. Those are the biggest thing right now is you see a lot of those ads, you know, well, folks return this and or never claimed it, and you could pick up a whole pallet full of stuff for an ridiculously cheap price. Uh-uh. Like they said, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
There ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
No, and, you know, you're just going to be suckered out that money.
Yep. Yep. Let me remind you, don't forget, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we will be running the Soundbites Lounge. If you go to soundbites.org/lounge at 9 p.m., you'll see a link to the lounge. Have I said lounge enough?
Special or thanks. Maybe you hang out in the lounge?
Maybe we'll hang out in the lounge. There special thanks to the folks at Mastermind Lounge for making that possible. We appreciate it. And that's we'll be there. We'll be there at 9 o'clock, so you can come there and join us in the chat. Maybe I'll even get on with the Raspberry Pi.
Ooh, there you go.
We'll see. Well, no promises. It depends because I take it down. I have to take it down off my desk every night because that's where the cat wants to sleep, and she weighs 40 pounds. So if it's there, she'll just knock it off the table, and I do not want that.
Yeah. Don't need that. It's durable, but you don't need to be taking that kind of abuse.
Right. So, more the monitor than I would worry more about the monitor. But, yeah, so maybe I'll do that. That'll be fun, but we'll see. We'll see. So far, I've been having an awful lot of fun with it. It's an awful lot of fun.
So do you have a few projects lined up that you want to do with it? Or
right now, I may not make this a fully fledged Plex server, but I do want to be able to serve Google Chromecast stuff. I want to be able to cast to my Chromecast.
Explain the Plex server for the folks.
Plex server is a multimedia server. You can put video and audio and stuff on it, play it to any devices, Plex-capable devices in your house, like Chromecasts and other kinds of TVs and your smart speakers and all this other stuff. So you can manage all of your media that way and keep it available. It's like having a DVR player for all of your media everywhere in your
house.
Sort
of like when you used to have all the old old-time radio shows?
All the old-time radio shows. I could put those on there. May well do that.
Yeah, because, you had tons of those. What we're talking about, folks, is
I have about 200 CDs, and they're not CDs. They're MP3 CDs, so it's hundreds of episodes per disc.
Per disc. Nick used to host up on the web. You could go and listen to old-time radio shows like The Shadow and Amos and Andy and...
Johnny Dollar, Have Gun Will Travel, Nero Wolf.
This is before TV, folks. A lot of the stuff, I mean, I remember a little bit as a kid. We didn't have a TV at first. And on Sundays and that, we would sit around the radio and listen to like Amos and Andy or Ma and Pa Kettle or I Remember Mama. I mean, a lot of that stuff. And we used to have this nice wooden radio that my grandfather fixed up. And on Sundays, we'd sit there and listen to that.
Yep. Yep. Pretty interesting stuff. And I've got, like I said, hundreds of CDs that I have to rip. And it's not lack of desire. It's just lack of time.
We always joke with my wife when she was a little kid, her father refused to get a color television because that was just a fad.
Right.
So she had to go to her friend's house to watch Star Trek.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, but now you can put all that stuff on your TV. Currently, I'm like I said, I'm ripping the entire A Nero Wolf mystery series. Well, it's only two seasons from A&E, and it was pretty nifty, pretty easy to do. Takes forever at a high scan rate and a high resolution. All right, that music tells us we are done. For another week, there's 2 hours of your life you're never going to get back. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We appreciate everybody who called in. We're sorry if we didn't get to your texts. Like I said, they're very problematic in terms of it just takes so long to figure out what people want. We can't ask you questions, and it's just that one-way communication isn't nearly as good. At any rate, we want to thank all of you. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more sound bites. I'm the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?